And the Bible says angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now drop down to verse number 34. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we do thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the precious promises and truths that we find contained therein. Lord, I pray that today, above all days, that you would be honored and glorified by my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight on this day. Lord, you're my strength. You're my redeemer. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in this room or somebody listening online that has never called out upon the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of sin and salvation and, God, just that relationship that we all need to have with you, God, I pray that today that you would encourage their hearts, that you would challenge them to do that very thing. God, I pray that for those of us who call ourselves Christians, that we are Christ followers, God, I pray that today that you would remind us once again, God, of your precious promises and truths, that we can be confident in you and your word. God, I pray that you'll have your will and your way during this time as we worship you through the teaching and preaching of your word. And God, I pray that you will receive the glory from it all. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, and for his sake we say as a church family, amen and amen. Well, I wish I could start off with another word, but the word I want to begin with this morning is fear. Fear really has been a part of the human existence all the way back since the fall of man. Fear has been with us. We have been racked by fear all the way back to what we know took place in the Garden of Eden. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, notice what the Bible says in verse number 8 and following. Notice it says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid. Notice what it says. It says, They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. In verse 9, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? I love that. Have you ever read that and thought, God, you know where they're at? Like, why? Hello, Ollie, Ollie, Uncle Free. Anybody ever play hide and seek when you were a kid? It's like, where are you? But look at verse number 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Notice the next few words. I was what? I was afraid because I was naked, Adam said, and I hid myself. In other words, Adam was saying, God, something changed in me. Something took place in me, and I hid because I was fearful. I was afraid. And so fear has been a part of our lives since the very beginning of time. And sadly, we've been living with fear ever since. Most likely, everyone in this room could probably point to some situation or some circumstance in our lives that we have had to deal with where we were fearful of something. And many of you know, and I got over it a long time ago, but many of you know that for me as a child, I was fearful of the dark. And many of you know that I was plagued by this as a little boy. And I've told the story how that many times I would, when my mother, before my mother passed away, she would put us boys to bed and she would say, you know, of course, when moms say your first and middle name, you listen. Right? It's like Greg Allen. And I was like, oh, what, you know, I'm in trouble? No, get in bed. It's time for bed. And I remember that I was so afraid of the dark that I would lay with my head sideways. I would turn my arms sideways. I would turn my feet sideways Because in my infantile mind, juvenile mind, I thought that if I could make myself as flat as I could in the bed and pull the covers very tight, that the boogeyman wouldn't see me and he'd get my brother instead. Oh, so you hated your brother? No, I'm just joking. I thought that if I could somehow be protected by those covers, I was afraid of the dark, and so I had to learn to deal with that fear. It's been said that fear comes in all shapes and sizes, from things such as, and I know we have some in here who are fearful of snakes and spiders. And I'm guessing there are a few, and it might not just be the ladies who are fearful of a little mouse, right? Various diseases and cancers that we're fearful of. Financial hardships. We fear financial hardship. We fear rejection. We fear disappointments. We fear old age. We fear simply being forgotten. And everyone has probably been stalked at some point by some type of fear in their life. And the same is true right here in the Christmas story this morning. In fact, in both Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, we see how fear is a part of the Christmas story. And it reminds us that we can be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. And when I think about the Christmas story and the fact that fear is a part of it, listen, the feelings of fear that we read about in Scripture are one thing, but it still reminds me that Christmas time is the most wonderful time of the year, because ultimately in the Christmas story we see that fear gives way to a time of trust. And so I want to encourage you today that it is the most wonderful time of the year for you and for me, because it reminds us when we look at the Christmas story that it is a time to trust. In fact, I stated this on Christmas Eve, and let me just restate it for you if you were not here. I said that no matter where we have been in the past, watch this, no matter where we've been in the past, no matter what we have done in the past, today is a day that we can all place our trust in the God who loved us and gave Himself for us. You don't have to fear any longer. You don't have to be anxious about anything. In fact, look back in our opening text, because in verse number 29 and 30, notice what takes place. It says, and when she saw him, this is speaking of Mary, she was troubled at his saying. I hear something beeping, and it's not my hearing aids. She was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor of God. So in verse number 29, notice that phrase where it says she was troubled. That phrase is one continuous idea in the Greek, and it actually means that she was disturbed wholly or completely. It actually goes on as a second meaning to say that she was agitated. Has anybody here ever been agitated? Let me ask a question. Were you agitated this morning? Right? We get agitated. We get disturbed wholly. Well, realizing that she's troubled, notice what takes place in Scripture. The angel quickly responds. And it's amazing. The angel says, hey, don't be afraid. And notice he calls her by name so that she understands that this angel of the Lord, that God knows who she is. Very specific reassurance to Mary here. And what's crazy to me is, and I don't know if you've read this entire chapter of Luke, but the exact same thing happens earlier in Luke chapter 1. In fact, earlier when the angel, look over at verses number 11 and following, earlier when the angel appears to a much older priest by the name of Zacharias, right? And basically the angel appears and is going to tell Zacharias that your prayers have been heard and you and your wife are going to have a child and you're going to call his name John and yada, yada, and they go on. Well, here's the thing. Zacharias is an older man, and the Bible says that his wife, Elizabeth, was barren. And not only is she barren, Zacharias actually testifies later, and he's very kind and gentle about it. He says, my wife is well stricken in years. That's polite for saying my wife is old. Notice what the Bible says. In verse 11 and following, he says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was," what? "Troubled, and fear fell upon him." And the angel, watch, he does the same exact same thing that he did to Mary. He says, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So when you look at both of these stories, both of them surround the miraculous conception and the miraculous birth of children. In the first story, we see the story of Elizabeth, who is barren and well stricken in years, and yet, incredibly, she conceives. In the second example, we have the story that we read about of Mary, who is a young teenage girl, and here's the deal with Mary. She's pregnant, but she's not pregnant by Joseph, the man who she is espoused to, but she's pregnant by the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost of God. What's amazing, these miraculous stories remind us that God is control. The angel tells Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. And I don't know about you, but it blows my circuit breaker to think of a teenage girl who receives a visit from the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord says, "Hey, no big deal, don't be afraid. Hashtag, you're going to give birth to God's Son." What if the angel of the Lord visited one of you young ladies today and said, "I got news for you. You're going to conceive by the Holy Ghost. How are you going to explain that to your dad, Grace?" I'm guessing you're going to tell your mom first, right? You like to tell Sonny that things is about ready to get crazy up in your home. Guys, sometimes we read the story, we're like, "Yeah, big deal. Big deal." She had parents too. By the way, the law said that she could be condemned to death for showing up pregnant, engaged to a man, and, "Oh, it's no big deal. She just got pregnant." No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Initially, both stories. And I guess it's right. But initially, both of these stories have a fearful reaction to the angel Gabriel's words. And so he gives both Zacharias, and then he gives Mary words of reassurance, the same way he does with us. In both cases, objections are raised. If you know the story with Zacharias, his is unbelief. In verse number 18, he says, "Whereby shall I know this?" In other words, what he is saying is, "Prove it." By the way, Zacharias, you're burning the incense in the temple, and an angel shows up on the right side of the altar inside the temple and tells you that your prayer is heard. You see the angel of the Lord, and yet your response is, "How about you prove it?" Is not the angel of the Lord's presence proof enough? I mean, hello? He says, "Prove it." But if you notice with Mary, it's not a lack of unbelief, it's a lack of understanding. Because in the text that I read in verse number 34, she just simply says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And so what she's saying is, she says, "I just don't understand. How is this going to happen? I'm fearful for what's going on." And folks, I put down in my notes, when life doesn't go as we planned, it is really easy to begin fearing all the unknowns. When it doesn't work out according to my plan, anybody ever had a plan, by the way? You got a plan for today? Listen, I have a plan. Some of you laugh, but I'm wearing burgundy today and I'm still hoping and planning for the Redskins to win. If you weren't here on Christmas Eve, you missed it. I was talking about my hope that the Redskins would actually be good since 1992. That's a long time to hope. I'm hoping for one win. But in reality, I guess they'll lose. In life, when things don't work out as we have planned, it's easy to fear all the unknowns. But sometimes, watch this, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that are difficult to bear and even harder to understand. And yet, you know what? He uses them to grow us. "Well, that wasn't easy." No, it wasn't easy. "That wasn't kind." No, it wasn't kind. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for each and every one of you in this room and everyone listening. His plan is not to destroy you. He's got an expected end. He's got a beautiful plan filled with hope and love and joy and peace for everybody who's here, everybody who's listening. And sometimes we just don't let him work out his plan. We say, forget your plan, God. I'm going to work my plan. And God says, oh, you need to trust my plan. Oh, it's the most wonderful time of year because it's a time to trust. Man, don't get crazy. I'll get worked up today. I realize, now here, let's be honest, guys, because I realize some of you have entered into a Baptist church and you're like, oh, this is what it's all about. This guy is cray-cray. I realize that in times like that, when we are fearful, it's easy to question God. Been there and done that. Anybody ever question God? Either through like Zacharias' unbelief, or like Mary, I just don't understand. It's not that I don't believe you, God. I just don't understand that this is your perfect plan for me. This plan stinks. God, I got a better plan. How about you give to me everything that I want, when I want it, and how I want it, God? How about you give it to me right now? Boom. I know, God, I live in a land of self-serve and a land of drive-through and everything else. And so why don't you just give me what I want right now? And you want to know what God says? Because I love you too much. The answer is no. The answer is no. Although Zacharias had to learn the hard way. You say, well, hold on, Zacharias, why do you even use Zacharias? Zacharias had to learn the hard way. Remember, he goes, as soon as he has this inner encounter with the angel, guess what? Old boy can't talk for the rest of his wife's pregnancy. Hey, some of the women are like, I wish that were a thing today. I wish my husband would have been mute for the whole time I was pregnant. He can't talk, but here's the thing. Even though he had to learn the hard way, he and Elizabeth kept on believing. Watch this. They kept on believing, and they kept on trusting God to do exactly what the angel of the Lord said God would do. And same thing is true with Mary. She had to choose whether or not she was going to believe the word of God by trusting God, and she did, and I've got good news for you today. So can we. She believed God, and she trusted God. In fact, let me give you some verses to encourage you today. In Psalm 18 and verse number 30, the psalmist said, as for God, his way. Now, when it says the word way there, it's speaking of his road, right? It's not speaking of his word in that particular. You have to pay particular attention to the Hebrew meanings of words, because sometimes when it talks about the way in Hebrew, it's speaking about his word. But here it's referencing his road. Now, watch this. It says, as for God, his way or his road is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all those that what? Trust in him. So I put down as little sidebar notes, do we believe that his way is perfect? See, because if we don't believe that his way is perfect, then guess what? You're not going to trust God. Do you believe that his word is tried? Because if you don't, you're not going to trust his word. And then my last question for this verse is, do we believe that he is a shield to those who trust him? Do I believe in my heart that if I place all of my trust, all of my confidence, all of my entire being in the Lord, do I actually believe that he is going to be a shield of protection for me? See, it matters. In one verse, three questions, very important questions that we must ask ourselves. In Psalm 37:5, I was in Psalm 37 this week. In Psalm 37, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so I put down as a note for this, are we willing to commit our way to the Lord? See, a lot of times we don't trust God because we think our way is better than his way. We think our plan is better than his plan. In Psalm 62, in verse number 8, the Bible says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Do we believe enough in him to trust him at all times? See, because for Mary, she had to make a choice. She had to make a choice whether she was going to believe what the angel of the Lord had said. In Psalm 119, 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Folks, when we cannot see, have you ever felt like you cannot see what's next for you? God, what do you want from me? What do you want next for me in my life? What do you want? Well, guess what? The Bible says the word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you don't even know where you're going, when you don't even know where you're headed, watch. I put down here, we need to keep trusting God's word. Because His word is a guide. His word is a light. His word will show us the way. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, those iconic verses that we all have learned, and sometimes we can rattle them off with ease. But the question is, do we actually apply these verses? Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Trust in the Lord on Sundays. Trust in the Lord when times get tough. No. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Listen, Mary knew that God loved her, and so it was easier for her to believe. By the way, the angel doesn't give Mary all the details surrounding Jesus' birth, His life, or His death. He only gives her enough information to make a choice. Same, we have a choice today. We can either choose to believe God and His word, or we can choose not to believe. Folks, I want to tell you that when we're confused, when you're perplexed, and you feel like you cannot believe, you cannot trust God to handle whatever the situation is that you find yourself in at this moment, I want to encourage you, God is not a liar. Thank you, who said amen over there. God is not a liar. The Bible says He is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said it, and shall He not do it? That's Numbers 23:19. You say, why do you know that by heart? Because Pastor Skinner used to say it about every other Sunday. True statement. He wanted to remind us that God is not a liar. We can trust Him. We can rest in His promises. We can stop worrying about the outcome. Have you ever been like me? I always worry about the outcome. It's like, I worry about the silliest outcomes ever. Right? Sometimes, if you're a golfer, like we worry if we're going to make the putt. Got news for you. Chances are you're going to miss the putt. Right? Unless you're a professional golfer. Quit worrying about it. Just hit the ball. Not only does God want us to believe Him in His word, which requires trust, He actually wants us to obey Him in His word. Flip over to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 1. We got to move quickly. Matthew chapter 1, flip over with me. If you have your Bible, pray that you do, flip over there. Or if you have an app or something, flip to Matthew chapter 1. And drop down when you get there. Look at verse number 18. Because see, He not only wants us to believe Him in His word, Mary, and we see this taking place in Luke chapter 1, but in Matthew chapter 1, we see that we have to, at some point, make a decision whether we're going to obey His word. Because notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. It says, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David," notice what he says, "fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, Amen, God with us. And then verse 24, notice what it says, Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And so, notice back at verse number 19, because verse number 19 tells us that Joseph was a just man, i.e., that means that, not that he was a great man, it just means that he was an observer of God's law. He paid attention to God's law. And then it also says, though, here that he was not willing to make a public example out of Mary. He was minded to put her away privately. And so, in other words, what this is telling us, folks, is that Joseph was not wanting to take this situation before the civil magistrate. He wasn't wanting to take Mary before the civil magistrate, which could have brought ultimate condemnation, punishment, and yes, based on what Deuteronomy 22 tells us about, talk about this idea of stoning her and putting her to death. And so we see all this just from a very short passage. But what I love about this, look back at verse 20, because obviously Joseph is a man who keeps his eyes looking up, right? He's setting his affections on things above, as Colossians 3 tells us. He's a guy who keeps looking above, but he also has his ears opened for what God wants to say to him. So look at verse 20. It says, and while he thought on these things, guys, little sidebar for men, women, young people, if you're hasty, slow down. Slow your roll. It says, and while he thought on these things, he didn't just hear that Mary's pregnant and say, away with her, get rid of her. He didn't do that. It says, while he thought on these things, it means he took time to consider what was happening, to consider this dream that he had just had where the angel tells him not to be fearful, but to take unto him Mary as his wife. And so he's not a hasty man. And notice it says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary unto thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So for me, I don't know about you, but the statement here from the angel that tells Joseph to fear not, in other words, not to be afraid, tells me that although Joseph is a just man, and although it seems that he is tender and he's a compassionate man, it also tells me that God must have known, surprise, surprise, that God would know. It also tells me that God must have known that Joseph was still struggling a little bit with anxiety and fear. If not, the angel would have simply said, hey, Joseph, what's going on, big dog? Don't worry about it, man. Take Mary to be... No, the first thing the angel says is, fear not. Fear not. God has given this situation to you. You don't have to fear. Take her as your wife. In a sense, the angel was reminding Joseph and each and every one of us that we do not have to fear God's purposes. By the way, sometimes things may look or seem bad at the outset. Have you ever had something that starts out bad but ends up being a blessing? And then sometimes you have something that starts out and you feel like it's a blessing and it turns out to be a nightmare. I've been on both ends of that spectrum, right? But think about Joseph. I just read the passage around Joseph. It started out bad, but God has a way of taking and turning the inside out and the outside in our life. He has a way of doing things that we don't even understand. That's why Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 8:28, he says, listen, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And the thing that we have to remind ourselves is that God never says all things are good. Amen. He never says all things are good, but he says that all things will work together for good according to, watch this, his purpose. It might not be my purpose. Certainly as a young boy, I didn't think it was a real good purpose for my mother to pass away. God had a plan for it all. He says, I have a plan for you, young man. Not a plan to destroy you, but a plan to grow you. And guess what? It hurts right now. This may hurt. This is no good. You're feeling anger. You're feeling hurt. You're feeling whatever it is you're going through. But God is saying, listen, I am in charge and I've got a better plan. And all I want you to do is believe me and obey me. Oh, that's the same message that he has for all of us. I think about Paul in his second letter to the church at Corinth. He said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 in verses 17 and 18. When he said it like this, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, my friends, whatever you, whatever we are called upon to endure or go through in this life, I want you to know that if we do it for our Lord's sake, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. But I also want to share with you that we have a choice. Just like Joseph's situation. Joseph had a choice. But look at verse 24 and 25. You see, we can choose to trust God and obey His word, or we can choose not to trust God and disobey His word and basically do our own thing. But notice what verse 24 says in our text. It says, then Joseph being raised from sleep, notice the very next word, did. Joseph being raised from his sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took him to him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. I think about the immediacy with which Joseph responds and he does exactly what the angel of the Lord tells him to do. I was thinking the other day while putting a message together about Peter and the other disciples there in Acts chapter 5. They're facing real persecution in Acts chapter 5, if you know the story. When you get down to verse number 29 in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says this. It says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, here's the really neat thing for you and I. The word ought there in verse number 29 actually means it's necessary. It's necessary. So what Peter was saying is, listen, you guys can do what you want, but it's necessary that we actually obey God rather than men. And so, guys, it's a time to trust Him. But we have a choice. Mary had a choice. She chose to believe, right? Even Elizabeth told Mary, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, she said, blessed art thou who believes, the woman who believes. And then Joseph, he has a choice to obey. And he does exactly that. He gets up and he does exactly what the angel of the Lord tells him to do. And so I put down here in my notes, do we trust God enough to obey Him, even in the face of difficult and uncomfortable circumstances? You may not always feel good. You may not always want to, but do we love Him enough to obey Him? Do we trust Him enough? Again, I said this many, many times over. We can trust God today and tomorrow based on what He has done yesterday. Did He bring you through yesterday? Did He bring you through yesterday? Yeah, He did, because you're sitting here today. Did the sun come up yesterday? Oh, it came up gloriously yesterday. I was up and at 'em real early yesterday. Can I tell you, it'll come up tomorrow? Not because of anything we say or do, but because God is who He says He is. Oh, listen, we could trust Him today and tomorrow based on what He's done yesterday. Look back with me, and I close the message in Luke chapter 2. Because, see, we don't have to be fearful of anything that comes our way. We could trust God by believing Him. We can trust God by obeying Him. But the last thing I want you to see is that you and I can actually trust God because we are all important to God. All important to God. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. Just a few verses and we wrap it up. Look at verse number 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were what? Here we go again. They were sore afraid. And the angel of the said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can you imagine these shepherds who were despised by the religious crowd of their day were the very first ones to hear the sound of the good news. They were also the very first ones to physically see the infant Jesus, aside from His earthly parents. How amazing is that? They were able to see the Savior of the world, God, wrapped in the flesh. But folks, the Bible says that they were sore afraid. They were afraid. You say, why were the shepherds afraid? I'll tell you why I think the shepherds were afraid. I think they were afraid because they were confronted by the reality of God. Remember, these guys have a reputation. Their reputation is base. Their reputation is not as being those that worshiped or praised God. And so they're out in the field, they're watching their flock by night, and immediately the angel of the Lord comes down and says, hey, guess what? I got good news. What just happened? They are being confronted with the reality of God. And I want you to know that you and I are confronted this morning with the reality of God. We have a choice. Will we trust Him? Will we obey Him? Will we understand that even as these lowly shepherds who were out in the field, that the angel of the Lord, think about it. God reveals the fact that His Son has been born to the lowest of the low, so to speak, reminding us that God is a God for all people, not just the uppers. He's a God for the down and outer too, right? Oh, God loves you. Listen, when the angel of the Lord and the army of heavenly hosts came and sounded out the message of Christmas to these shepherds, they responded. And maybe, quite frankly, for the very first time, they understood. And here's what I want you to understand is that they and you and I, we are all important to God. God is concerned with you today. God loves you today. He wants to remind you of His love through His Word that says He loved you so much that He sent and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, these ordinary people responded by faith to the extraordinary news that God loved them so much that He sent forth His Son, as Galatians 4 tells us, saying, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. That word redeem I shared on Christmas Eve means to rescue. God sent His Son on a rescue mission for you and for me. Mary trusted God by believing Him and His Word. Joseph trusted God by obeying His Word. And folks, I got some news for you. The shepherds, they actually trusted God by doing both. They not only heard God's message, they responded to God's message. And if you know the rest of the passage, they went out and ultimately proclaimed God's message. They not only believed it, they obeyed it and went to proclaim it. So maybe you're here this morning, and if you're honest, you would say, man, I'm confused. I'm confused about what God is trying to do in my life. I'm confused. I'm a little fearful. I'm a little afraid that I'm not in agreement with God's plan. And I'm just struggling with that. Maybe that's you this morning. You're a little confused about what God is doing. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening. And you just don't understand why something has happened. You just don't understand. I don't understand why it happened that way. That wasn't the way I wanted it to happen. I had a plan, and I was working my plan, and I was saying, God, here I am, use me. And the plan didn't work out the way that you thought it should. If that's you this morning, you're here, you're listening, I want to encourage you, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happened, no matter what you are, no matter what you will in the future be facing, today or tomorrow, I want you to know that we all, me, you, all of us, we can trust God to see us through, no matter what it is. You say, you don't get it, I'm hurting. You've never hurt like I hurt. Maybe not. But I could turn around and say, you've never hurt the way that I've hurt. See, we could do this for days, right? This would be like an act of futility. We could do the one-up game all day long. Well, you don't understand. I cut my head open and I was about to die. And you don't understand. And then I had to have a big old surgeon that cut my chest open. You don't understand what that feels like. No, I actually do know a little bit about that. You don't understand. My wife said this to me. My husband did this to me. My children don't speak to me. You know who does understand? Well, what good are you? You're supposed to be the pastor. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. God doesn't respect me any more than He respects you. He doesn't see me high and lifted up any more than He sees you high and lifted up. You know who's high and lifted up? It's His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, guys, we can trust We can trust God no matter what we're going through. Our God is sovereign. Anybody ever told you that? Our God is sovereign. And that means that He is in complete control, and it also reminds me that He does not make mistakes. Jeremiah, I close with this. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17, 7, notice what he says. Jeremiah said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." I beg you today, no matter what you're facing, no matter where you've been, no matter where you think you're going, trust the Lord, right? Believe Him. Believe His word. Obey Him. Obey His word and understand that you can trust Him because you are important to Him. And here's something that I read just the morning. It's amazing how God opens up things for us. Do you know how I can know that I'm important to Him? Because as a believer, you ready for this? It's like one of those this morning circuit breaker. I can trust God. As a believer today, I can realize that I'm important to Him because He has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to take up residency in this old carnal body. Amen. Are you kidding me? We could trust Him. You don't have to fear anymore. No more anxiety. Only trust. And now what the song says, trust and obey. For there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Sounds like you've heard the song before. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your word. And God, maybe there's somebody here this morning who for the first time in their life is crying from the inside out saying, Lord, I want to trust You. I trust You with all of my heart. I want You to come in. I want You to forgive me. I want You to change me from the inside out. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what, I've never done that. If that's you this morning, and you just simply say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm crying out today. I want to trust the Lord with all my heart. If that's you, would you just look at me, get my attention. Get my attention. I'm not going to have you raise your hand or anything. Just get my attention with your eyes. Look up at me, say, I want you to pray for me that I would trust the Lord with my heart. God bless you. Somebody else. Say, you know what, I really want to pray and ask God to forgive me. But it's a struggle. I see you. God bless you. Somebody else say, Pastor, I really need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive me. Can I tell you the great news? Is that God says you can do it right now. Right where you're at. No more playing church. No more playing games with God. God says, listen, if you believe that I sent my Son to die on the cross for your sins, if you believe that Jesus is who He says He is, if you believe this, if you believe the gospel, if you believe that I proved my love to you in that while everyone was sinners, that I sent Christ to die on the cross for your sins, if you believe that, all you need to do is simply call out and ask me to come into your life. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I proved my love on the cross. I want to have that relationship with you. You have to call out on my name and ask me to come in. So maybe you're sitting there and you say, you know what? I've never done that. Just quietly to yourself say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I've messed things up. I realize that nobody has to tell me that. But Lord, I'm asking You today to forgive me of my sin. I'm asking You to come into my life. I'm asking You to change me from the inside out. Lord, I believe that You are who You say You are. And today I choose to trust You. I choose to believe. I choose to obey Your word. I choose this because I realize maybe for the first time that I am important to You. Lord, thank You for saving my soul.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like more information about our ministry, check out our website at battlefieldbaptist.org or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll see you next time.